Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Thursday, May 31st, 2018. I am John Mbaya, and joining me today is my gender-neutral and forward-thinking group, the X-Force. Who's in my X-Force is Benjamin Mbaya.
Hello.
Hello. Oh yes, just hello. And coming back as our guest, or not even our guest anymore, you are officially our one of our co-hosts. John Abaya or Nino? Which one did we agree?
Nino.
Abaya.
Hello.
Today, it's kind of different. So we're recording this episode kind of live. So every music, every sound that you're about to hear is live. There will be no post-editing at all. Whatever you're about to listen to is just live, like every little edit and whatnot. And yeah, is that cool with you guys?
This is like a Sports Center, you know, when they do the show live and just come up with the random stuff.
Yes.
At the spot.
Yes. So if you're new to the podcast, we usually discuss it and give our impressions on what we watch, listen, and played and read throughout the week. We usually begin with the episode with a trailer talk and conclude the episode with a main discussion. This week's main discussion is Deadpool 2. You guys thought it would be Solo, right? Because Solo just released last week. But we tricked you. We went back in time. And we'll be recording our little impressions about Deadpool 2. I think none of us watched Solo, right?
None.
No.
I didn't watch it. No.
No one was really interested? Or are we interested in watching that later?
I'll probably watch it later, though. At the moment, yeah.
Me too.
Okay. So let's get to our trailer talk. So this week's trailer is going to be kind of different. We usually do movies, but this week, because leading up to E3 next week, this trailer actually came out just a couple of hours ago, of time of recording, and it's Fallout 76. Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is all there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, flowing like the breeze. Country roads, take me. But when the fighting is stopped and the fallout is settled, you must rebuild. So that was a clip from the trailer. The trailer was released today by the studio Bethesda. Oh, this is a hard one for me. Bethesda Software. They also made Fallout. They also do Skyrim, and they do a whole bunch of other video games that are mostly our first person shooter. If you're wondering, so the trailer has a lot of visuals, but mostly the song that's playing is Take Me Home, Country Road by John Denver. I am familiar with the song mostly because it recently came out on or was a really hit, or from a semi-hit movie. What was that one with the spy? That's it's a Mark Miller movie.
Actually came up in like four or five films the past
years. But in the last couple
The Golden Circle.
Yes. Because they do a rendition of that song in the movie of I forgot who's playing that character, but he sings the song, and it was very like poetic and beautiful at the same time. But enough about that. So let's start off. So Fallout 76. I'm going to say right now, I've never played any Fallout game. It is a action RPG first-person shooter. That's the best way I can describe it. It is mostly in this post-apocalypse world, almost near after the atom bomb was created, and we have Fallout shelters, and most Americans are in them. And what I can tell in mostly gameplay of like past games, you are a survivor trying to survive in this world. And most of it looks like a huge map that you get to go out more. I think this is probably part four, or there was part four a couple of years ago. So this is like I'm assuming a sequel, or is it like a side story from another main? Because they do like Las Vegas. I know or New Vegas was one of theirs. So, Ben, let's start with you. Are you a fan of Fallout, or are you interested after watching this trailer?
I'm not a fan because I haven't even played one game of Fallout ever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm familiar with the character, or I guess the logo, Pip-Boy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I know about it. I have no sort of like affinity towards the series at all. Sorry to say. I heard great things about it, and from the looks of it, Bethesda seemed like they're going to hit a home run with this one again. But other than that, yeah, I thought the trailer was cool. I think you touched on like the song Take Me Home, Country Roads, which is kind of weird that we mentioned that like four or five other films had this song, mm-hmm. Alien Covenant, Free Fire, Logan Lucky.
Yes.
Yeah, and Okja. But like hearing it from a video, I feel like video games, so I feel like we're going to hear this song more often. other than that, yeah, the trailer is cool. I mean, I don't feel like I'm going to wanting to play the game at all. It's one of those games where it's very tedious to the point where I don't think I have time to play. Just like a Skyrim or what's another game that's similar to this? But anything that you have to like collect things, create things, and try to survive, that has like sort of like the RPG elements. I'm nearly that interested just because I could admire it, but I don't think I have the time to play it. But yeah, it looks cool. Can't wait to see how other people will play it. I'll probably watch someone play on Twitch for a while or something.
Have you both ever played Fallout Shelter on the handheld? Oh, not the handheld, on the mobile? Mobile.
Mobile. None.
So that game, Fallout Shelter, is exact same style, but it's more like you take care of your little characters. It's not as like this graphics. It's more like a 2D base, and most of the time you're just getting resources. It's inventory management. It's very... when I was playing it a while ago, like 4 or 5 years ago, I quit the game because there's too much stuff to keep up to date, because you have to come at this hour to do this or whatnot, and it was too much. I don't know how this game is. How about you, Nino? Have you ever played a Fallout? And if not, does this trailer make you interested more in playing a new Fallout game?
So when I first saw the character, the jacket, it reminds me of a character from Overwatch that I'm kind of playing at the moment. And so I'm like, what's going on there?
Oh.
And so I kind of looked at it a little bit more, and it seems like this setting is only set 20 years after the nuclear war, while the previous games are like 200 plus years after the nuclear war. So this is more like a modern, I guess, what you could say. It's not so futuristic.
Mm-hmm. Closer
so it to, should yeah. be interesting, yeah. But no, I haven't played it. I'm not sure if I am. I am not a huge campaign like Skyrim, or like another game I kind of play for like a week and stop is Witcher Hunt 3.
Uh-huh.
Oh my goodness, the visual is so amazing, which kept it for a week, and then I was just like tired of running and feeding and running. And there's even a game called The Division, almost similar concept, but it's a bigger map, open world-ish, and it's just running. And I swear, I felt like I was working out, just running. And this is kind of, looks like, reading a little bit, is similar to that. Single-player mode, a bunch of missions. And I'm like, just like Skyrim and Witcher Hunt. And I'm sure it's going to be great. It's just not my cup of tea. I'm sorry.
I'm glad I picked this trailer for our trailer talk.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like I said, like earlier, one of the reasons I picked this because E3 is next week. So, this is our foot in the door for next week. So, next week we'll mostly be discussing E3 stuff, all the trailers and whatnot. And maybe Solo, if we have a chance to actually watch that. We're very busy over this next coming weekends. But
yeah, speaking of E3 real quick, apparently they're not releasing anything until E3. So the little article they show is like, doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. So all like, we know, okay. Like this trailer is kind of cool just to see like the little Fallout shelter. And I bet if we were a huge fan, we'll see little Easter eggs of like, oh, this little item here is from this game and whatnot. And I'm interested just to see, I like watching, I don't know if you guys do this, like if I'm really into a story, I would go on YouTube and watch people play it, but without them commentating it, like the whole story, I would just watch it. I've done this with, what is that, the Injustice games. So I would watch those, just the story plots, and those stories are about like 2.5 hours long, so it's like a movie. So I done that with that game, and recently I did it with Wolfenstein 2, so the New Order, not the New Order, I forgot what the newest one's called, but I've done it with that, just because I'm like, I just want to know the story of the story game. I might do it to this. I don't have a newer system that you guys have. I mean, I have a Switch, but I doubt the Switch will play this type of game anytime soon.
Well, aren't they going to release like Skyrim on that system soon?
They did already.
Oh, they did?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think usually Fallouts are usually on the PS4, huh?
Yeah, or well, the 362. Oh, yeah, 360, the one. Xbox One.
The one.
It dates me. It looks interesting. Moving on from that, what have you been doing, Ben, in the last week? We haven't heard from you for almost like 2 weeks. I think Nino and I and Greg and my wife been carrying the podcast on our own shoulders. We miss our actual hosts. So one of the reasons I'm hosting today, because I'm recording it on my end, that's a little background, or not background, behind the scenes thing. So what have you been doing lately, Ben?
Way to call him out.
Yeah,
I know. I've been doing wonderful because I don't have to like, set up the podcast. It's really odd to be on the receiving end of all this, actually. But it's really also like it removed the tension from me just trying to like prepare and whatnot. But yeah, overall I've been doing okay. I watch a lot of films and television shows the past couple of weeks that I haven't been on, but the thing I want to highlight the most, just because I think it's a really great opportunity to like watch more films, especially films that are made not in the professional matter but like in an independent route, is the Sacramento Asian Pacific Film Festival that was held this past weekend for a couple of days. So my fiance and I just went on the second day, but it was like the fourth show. They have each day had two shows. So the first day had solidarity, resistance was the theme. And then the second day, their themes were justice and unity. And throughout the 2 days, they show documentaries, short form narratives, and long form narratives. So like a feature film, most basically. So this night, basically, we watch probably 3 or 4 documentaries. I will name a couple. The titles are Strong Culture, Filipina, Getting Loud, The Rise of Modern Loud Music and Films, Race, The Al Young Story, and then the short films we watch was Gandhi versus Justice, and Justice We Believe, Trail Past Prejudice, and The Letter. But the highlighted film, and you can actually watch this film on Netflix right now, is the film Gook, which is directed and written by and starring Justin Chong and Simone Baker and David So. David So is actually is one of the characters, but he's also from Sacramento. He's a native in Sacramento, or not native, but he is from Sacramento. And he actually opened up the film with him and with a brief message, shouting out and how he was raised here and whatnot. So and that was pretty cool to see him there. And then he just, you know, he tried to inspire the crowd by like saying like he's just from Sacramento and then you could make it in Hollywood, blah, blah, blah. But it was really inspiring to listen to him. But the film Gook, which is about two Korean American brothers, Eli and Daniel, and it shows them struggling to survive by managing a shoe store in LA. It takes place in 1992 during the LA riots. So there's like a lot of tension, especially between like different marginalized like communities. And then how they have to maneuver in the city without, you know, either getting beat up or whatnot. Or being in trouble, you know, that thing. But overall, like, it's a really great movie. I think it's very powerful. But one aspect of it is that's surprising and refreshing is a character, Camilla, which is played by an 11-year-old actress, Simone Baker. And she, in her part in the film, she plays like the helper of the shoe store. So she's like an employee of the shoe store, but she's also like a good friend, and they kind of take care of her like a little sister and whatnot. So majority of the film concentrates on her and her life and how she's living, especially like the tenacious times in the riots. So that's, if you want to get like a look into the 92 riots and just seeing like their interactions with the people of that time, it's pretty cool. And it's kind of powerful to see. One thing that is like, I think people will love is that it's shot entirely black and white.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, it's a cinematography. Ate Chen, I think that's his how you say his name. The depths of his like shadows and lights is really like superb. And it reminded me, because there's a lot of surrealism in the film, like there's things that would take you out of the film, but it's interview I watched was that they wanted to capture like the French New Wave and how there weren't rules during that time, when the 1960s and 70s, when French filmmakers were making films, they didn't follow a structure. So this sort of got to the same way. And I think Justin Chan was like inspired by that. But yeah, if you love like, you know, black and white films, I highly recommend it. I think for myself, I'm always like someone who's always championing like representation in the film industry and whatnot. So it's a good, it's a cool film because it's made by a Korean American, and it's about Korean Americans during a time where we never got to the other side of the story during the LA riots of the Korean American community and whatnot. But yeah, that's Gook, which is now on Netflix. So I highly recommend it.
I'll go check that out. And Netflix is only like $10 a month, right?
Unless you're still renting the disc, which I am.
So. Okay. Oh, wow. I didn't even know you were still renting the disc.
Yeah.
What? But who does that?
I was just going to mention, too, because I attended the Sacramento Asian Film Festival. Like, I've been starting to attend more film festivals, especially in our local area. And I advise or like encourage any listeners in your own city to also attend, because you get a lot of like ideas, especially if you want to create films, but also you appreciate like how much, you know, work people put into films. Like, not all of them were like great. Like, some of them you could probably say like they're a little bit more in the amateur side, but like I appreciate it because they actually got out to do the work and put it out there and had like, you know, hundreds of people still watched it still. So yeah.
That sounds good. Moving on from that film, let's go to a more happy film. Nino, what have you been watching?
Recently, I watched The Greatest Showman. This came out last year in the theater. I think, yeah, towards the end of last year. And then the Blu-ray digital copies came out like, I think, a week ago or two. Pretty much it's a, inspired
by true film. Events. Yeah.
Oh yeah. By P.T. Barnum.
Yes.
It's called The Greatest Showman. So it's a original musical theater. It's actually quite, upbeat. It's not like, Phantom of the Opera or, the one he did before. What's Hugh Jackman did before?
Les Mis.
Yes, oh, that one. That yeah, one. That
it's,
I,
it's way not like.
Yeah, it's so dark. But yeah, so this is starring Hugh Jackman, Zac Efron's in there, Zendaya's also in there, Michelle Williams in there. There's a lady named Rebecca Ferguson. She plays Jenny Lynn, and it's funny because in this film she's like, she has like the Adele voice, like that high pitch, like all out. But the movie I saw her last was Mission Impossible, and she was an assassin. I'm like, is that really her voice though? Like, wow. Like, so she could just flip. But I'm really amazed with Hugh Jackman. And when I watched this, I told my wife I was really mad at Fox because they wasted a very talented actor to play Logan, you know, when he's so capable and acting so many different things. Like, the script, the writer, the years that were spent in the previous movie besides Logan is just, like, to be kind of garbage or wasted, and now he's not doing Logan anymore. So sad. See? It revolves back to Wolverine. Anyhow, so we got this film and bought the musical soundtrack from my wife, and she loves it, and it's really upbeat. She's actually sing along with it. It's like almost singing the Frozen and the Moana songs. It's crazy, and it's really upbeat. It's a good story in there. I don't think it was this great as in like real life.
No.
But no. It's like when they came out with the Anastasia film for like the cartoon, but you know, in real life, that's not even that glamorous. No. But so this was really good. I highly suggest this. It's really light film, so you don't have to think too hard. Emotionally, you'll hit up and down, but it's a really great film.
What is your favorite songs in there? There's like one song I really like. It's basically
These song titles be spoilers?
No. Like the
no.
So like the very first song that when the movie opens is called "The Greatest Show," and it's it's really good. That's the thing. It's very inspiring. That
it is. It's like it slows in the beginning, and then all of a sudden you just like upbeat and everything else. Like it just gets you up.
Mm-hmm.
If you do listen to the soundtrack, there's actually quite a bit in there. The Hugh Jackman one you're talking with Zac Efron, that's the greatest show, is pretty good.
I also like the Rewrite the Stars with Efron and Zendaya. That's a really good song too.
Yeah, Rewrite the Star. Yep, that's a good one. I like the Never Enough with that's the one with Jenny Lind.
Mm-hmm.
Solo in the theater. That's good. Yes. There's quite a bit. Even Michelle Williams. You know, if you remember from Dawson's Creek, right?
I'm not sure. I never watched Dawson's
Creek. I'm almost positive that's the show that she
that's
did.
Her, that's her.
With Katie Holmes.
Okay, yes, back I know. Yeah.
So back then, and she had some singing stuff in there too, and I'm like, oh, she could sing also. Like, wow.
I wonder if they, I don't know if you guys ever watched, I forgot what's that movie called. I'm trying to look for it right now.
Oh.
But there was a song, there was a film where she actually sang, and I wonder if that's the reason why she got this part, is because
she sang.
Yeah, she said she sang like a really good song. I forgot what the name, but anyway, go on.
And then Zac Efron's actually, to me, is developing to a great actor. I'm not sure if I've seen him in like something like Will Smith's 7 Pounds, you know, something. Yeah. Like deep and emotional, but so far he's been very
High School Musical is pretty
versatile. No, he's, you know what I mean, like versatile. And it's funny because my wife looked at him like, where is he from? Like High School Musical. Oh really? Like yeah, like his eyes, I know that's why he's in there, because like the candy, you know, pipe.
But he doesn't take off his shirt, no, or anything like that.
No, in Baywatch, he was topless the entire time with The Rock.
But like, everyone knows that he can sing, and he really sings well, so
yes,
that draws you in more.
Him and, what's that girl, Zendaya?
MJ, she wants to be called now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's not Michelle, or whoever in the movie.
Yeah, but it's a great film. I highly suggest that, you know, something light.
Yeah, I watched that too a couple of weeks ago when it first came out on DVD or whatever. I really enjoyed it. My son actually wanted to watch it because he kept on seeing the commercials every time he watches like his cartoons. And he watched it and he kind of fell asleep towards the end. But when he woke up, he's like, that was a really good movie. I was like, you didn't see the ending. But he's like, I can tell it's a good movie, though. So,
he was dreaming with it.
Yeah,
which
one
is it, Lennox or?
Lennox was the one.
Lennox. That's funny.
So moving on to what I watched. So my wife and I are really into like a horror kick right now. So we were just like viewing stuff or scrolling through what we have, like Hulu and whatnot, the streaming services. And we saw that on Netflix or HBO, I believe HBO, Friday the 13th, the remake of that came out in 2009 was on there. So we decided to watch that. If you guys don't know anything about Friday the 13th, it's basically a group of teenagers or young adults go near Camp Crystal Lake and Jason Voorhees there. Like, if you, it's the slasher movie of all slasher movies with Michael and Freddy Krueger. So the premise is that the same thing, similar to any other slasher film or Friday the 13th film. I think the thing that I really like about this movie, though, they take a lot of the things that you know about Jason. I'm about to say Freddy for a moment, and they kind of like take those and give them a little bit of a backstory of why he's like this. Not his story of like why he's this killer, but more of like, oh, in the Jason films, he walks so fast, he goes to one side to the, you know, from the camp to the other side. They explain it in this film why he does that. Oh, Jason can throw an axe and arc and do all these things really well by hitting someone hella far away, you know, in the original movies. And this movie...
Is this the 2009
version? Yes, this is the 2009 version of the movie. And I really like... So this movie does something that no other horror movie that I can think of does. They do this... it's not really a spoiler, but it caught me off guard. It's a... I don't know what... It's not a story spoiler. It's more of a... I don't know, Ben, if there's a term for this where it's a cinematic spoiler, like the way they edit the movie. I don't know if there's a thing for that. Like a
Even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so what before I explain it, the movie is also directed by Marcus Nispel. So he also directed the remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre that came out in 2003. So if you like that remake, you will enjoy this remake too. The most of the stars, so the lead star in here is Jared Padalecki. So he's famous for Supernatural, if you ever watched that show. I think he plays in Supernatural.
One of the Supernatural
He plays one of the brothers in that thing. But if in the show, he's the one with the long hair. I think most of his roles, he's always had this long hair. He did not cut it for this movie at all. He still kept that look, you could say. And it also stars other people. I don't want to get into it because it is a minor spoiler too, just saying the cast. Not because they're like famous cameos, just because how they start the movie is pretty awesome for me, or what I thought it was pretty cool. So like I said, if you don't want to know anything about this movie, this is just a little minor spoiler. So the movie begins with teenagers going to Camp Crystal Lake. And there's a group of them, five of them, whatnot. And they basically encounter Jason. And everything goes chaotic and they die. And that's the first 25 minutes of the movie. And then you get the cold open and the title card, Friday the 13th. I was like, what? Like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, this movie has a cold open. Like, no horror movies don't do that at all. And it was a 25-minute cold open. So you're watching this, like, this little mini...
That's like half the film, John.
Yes, that's why. But have this little mini movie of, like, oh, if you don't know about Jason, this is what he does. And he shows all the little things that he does with the, like, how he kills people and whatnot. But I thought that was pretty cool because it introduced this, like, this one group of people. But they're right away, you're like, nope, these are not the main characters at all. These are just like the little, like, the thing to welcome you guys into this universe. Like, this is a whole different universe. This is not like the Friday 13th you guys knew back in the 80s. And this has nothing to do with any of the Friday 13ths before this. Like, so there's a whole different Jason Voorhees. This is a smarter Jason Voorhees. There's a much, more stronger, I can say, but he's way smarter in here. Like, if you doubt anything what he can do in the preview, like, you always doubt, like, oh, he can never do that. He can never do that in the other movies. This one explains a lot of the things what he does, and it's pretty cool. Like, it's, I don't know. I really like the movie. My wife really liked the movie, and I don't know why I didn't watch this in the beginning, because it is the creator or the director of the remake of Texas Chainsaw. I really enjoyed that. So yeah, it's not like a must see, but if you enjoy the Friday the 13th movies, you should check this out. I don't know what else to say, but yeah. But yeah, moving on from another rated R movie.
Wait, could they make a film of Friday the 13th but stars Hugh Jackman in the musical version of that film?
They can. He has his claws on it, and then he's singing. Like, but would you want? Yes, it'd be Wolverine too.
Get with who do you think will win, Wolverine or
Wolverine?
JC? No. What? So I don't know if Wolverine. I mean, Wolverine has the healing ability. Yes. But Jason has that too. Healing factor, whatever. It's a mutant mutant ability. But Jason has that too. If he are going by canon of what the movie does, like he always comes back alive, so he can never die in this weird.
So what if they fight like in the lake?
He can survive in the lake. I mean, see, are you asking if he can swim?
Or in a waterfall.
He's not scared of water. I can say that. In this movie, he's not scared of water.
What? Was he ever scared?
He was. That is a weakness he has, originally. But this one does not. They don't do that at all. Because when he was a kid, he's actually really good at a lot of sports, apparently.
Those Wolverine.
Wolverine went to day sports or whatever, sport camp when he was a kid.
What is that though? Like, that's like centuries ago.
What I'm saying. But all the sports back then when he was alive are older sports, but there's like new sports now. Like MMA. No, I don't know if that counts.
In a camp.
Yeah. Wait, are we talking about Wolverine or Jason?
I have no idea. Okay.
I thought you were saying Wolverine was in the sports camp. That's why. I was saying that, but then you said centuries, so I was thinking that you're thinking about Wolverine the whole time. Wait, centuries pretty old. He's not that old, is he?
Wolverine, yeah.
Century,
think about like War Wars.
Century is 100 or 1,000? I forget.
100.
100, okay. Okay, yeah. It's probably, yes. 1,800, yeah. He's probably that old. Oh, so talking about Wolverine, he's in this movie that we'll be talking to. So we'll go to our main discussion, and our main discussion is Deadpool 2.
Kids give us a chance to be better than we used to be. He needs you.
You're a lot smarter than I look. I ain't letting Cable kill this kid. But I can't do this alone.
Can you speak up? It's hard to hear you with that pity dick in your mouth.
We're gonna form a super duper fucking group. Meet them tough, morally flexible, and young enough to carry their own franchise for 10 to 12 years.
We'll be known as X-Force.
Isn't that a little derivative?
You're absolutely right. Now, let's go get our fuck on.
Don't call it a comeback!
So, that's a clip from a trailer, or that's a clip from the trailer of Deadpool 2. Hope you enjoyed that. This movie is rated R and made a whole bunch of money over the past couple of weekends. It actually knocked off Infinity Wars. Can you guys believe that? That a movie...
What?
Yes. So, if you don't know anything about Deadpool 2, it's basically a comic book character named Wade Wilson who gets superpowers, you could say. I'm not going to explain the comic book version of him, but
I'm pretty sure he's still a mutant though.
Yeah, he is a mutant. That also breaks the fourth wall. So in this movie, he breaks a lot of the fourth wall in Deadpool. His character breaks the fourth wall, so he speaks to the audience and whatnot. This movie is directed by the person who not directed part two, right? He didn't direct part one, I mean. He directed The Bourne Ultimatum and John... Oh, no. He directed Atomic Blonde. Sorry. It's David Lynch.
Not David Lynch.
How do you say his name? Litech?
No, Lynch.
Lynch? Okay. Not the David Lynch. Not that guy, but another one. But he also directed Atomic Blonde. The movie stars Ryan Reynolds, Josh Brolin, Marina Bacharian, Julian Denson, ZZ Beats, TJ Miller, Leslie Huggins, and Karen Sony. I think that's the most of the cast, right? I mean, so there's other characters in here, but I won't say who are they. Some of them are really cool cameos, I thought. Oh, and returning to, I forgot, is Brianna Hildebrand, who plays Negasonic Teenage Warhead. And
Yes.
And I have to mention this. Shiluli Kutsana, who plays her girlfriend, Yukoyo, the one that always says hello to Deadpool. So I want to start off first, before we dive into spoilers, is that let's discuss only a little bit, like minor things, of the overall thoughts about the movie. Then we'll do the similar thing that we do in the past episode. After the credits, we can discuss spoilers real quickly. And then, yeah. So I'll begin first. I liked the film. I didn't think it was better than Deadpool 2. I think they're both exactly the same. Whatever I got from Deadpool 1 is the exact same thing I got from Deadpool 2. It reminds me a lot of like how The Hangover movies are, where they take this elements of the previous films and they basically enhance the joke. So there's previous jokes in here that they kind of enhance more, and or they from the previous film, and they play off of it. They do it well. I liked what they did with certain jokes, and it makes sense in this film why they did it. They have the best part, I think, is the character that Josh Brolin plays. He plays Cable, a futuristic mutant that is...
He is playing Cable in this one, right? That's futuristic?
Man. Oh, yeah. The futuristic man with the arm. Not Thanos, like in the previous...
Not the futuristic mutant in the other film.
No, yeah, yes. But yeah, and he did an outstanding job. He really plays the line between that serious role and jokey role, because you have Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds' character in here, always joking around, and this very serious Cable character in here. The mix went well for me. Like, it didn't, I thought the balance won't be that will be bad by judging just, you know, by trailers and that, but they both played really good like parts in the movie. I really like Zazie Beetz's character, who plays Domino, only because her character is only relying her mutant powers as luck. And I think they did a really great job of showing that mutant power, or not mutant power, but that power in general, of how her luck changes even off by like seconds. Like when a scene, when she needs that luck, it changes right away. And I thought that was kind of cool. And I really like the character of Julian Denson, who plays Fire Fist. That's a really dumb name. just because he's in previous movies I've seen, and I really want this character, or this actor, to be in more movies. I really like his jokiness. He plays a lot of comic parts in the past, and I think he did a great job in here playing another comic part. What else? Yeah, overall, I just like the film. I would watch it again just to see the jokes again. But yeah, what do you guys think about it? Let's start with Ben.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to think of something different from what you mentioned. I overall liked it too. I had some minor grievances here and there, I think, but it didn't ruin like my film experience overall. I think it's actually better than the first film, just because of the plot. Like, plot wise, it's better. I think when you have like an origin story, the original Deadpool wasn't as like great as an origin story. It's very simple, but a little bit like one note this time.
So the plot is almost similar to the first film, though, too. But
yeah, when it comes to like the Danzo,
yes,
distress. But that's like one of the minor grievances, is because what happens to one of the characters, I feel like it's very like convenient plot wise but it's okay. I mean I wish that it didn't go there, but at the same time, I could see why they had to go there if you want to tie in family. You know, they always said in the film the F word, which is family. Like some of the jokes were like a bit cringeworthy, but I was okay with it. I think it's cringeworthy when it comes to like the references and jokes, because it just reminded me of like Family Guy. I could endure Family Guy, I guess you could say. Like, I don't really watch that show, but I like some of his stuff, but at a certain time, you get kind of like bored with the jokes. But I do find myself whining more by the end, just because I really like the characters that, other than Deadpool, I like you mentioned, Domino, played by Zazie Beetz, who's also a really great actress in Atlanta, if you ever watched that.
Oh, yes, yes.
Who's stars with solo actor Donald Glover. Trying to put in solo in this as much as possible. But like, her powers is really cool, and to see it executed on screen is really amazing and kind of like refreshing too, just because, like you said, her powers are relied on luck. And then just in my mind, I'm like curious of like how the writers thought, like, oh, this is gonna, we're gonna do this just because, you know, it's like, what do you call that thing when things happen? When you set up things and it all happens.
Oh, yes. Precise. I don't know the name of
Rube Goldberg.
Yeah, yes, on, yeah. Rube Goldberg. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that kind of device is really cool. Everyone else is really great. I, like you mentioned, Julian Denson. Like, if you ever watch, I highly, highly recommend, if you like his character here, watch Hunt for the Wilder People.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the movie I was talking about.
Yeah, that one's like his. It's basically almost the same character, but in a indie film format, superpowers too, and yeah. And then of course Josh Brolin, like just him as Cable. Like, at first I didn't picture him when they announced it. I was like, oh yeah, he has the age, but I don't know if he has like the, yeah. You always see him in very serious roles, and I think giving him the role with like. I think the one that like made me pay attention to him more about like when it comes to genre films is Men in Black 3.
Mm-hmm. And yep, then that's a good one.
That, I felt like he did like an amazing job after, like, when it comes to like Infinity War. Yep. Or if you watch like Hail Caesar, that's another one too. But yeah, I overall liked it. I think because of the plot and just having more characters, it's better than the first one. And I would also say it has some of the best, after credit or during credit scenes on the Marvel film. I think it's like up there where it's actually worth staying and not, it doesn't waste your time at all.
Nope. What are your thoughts, Nino?
So when I saw the cast in this one, in the very beginning, they had rumors about Terry Crews, right?
Oh,
like,
yes.
Bedlam. I'm like, oh, so all right, we'll see Terry Crews for like a few seconds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's pretty cool. And I'm really excited because of developing X-Force. And, you know, when I was growing up as a kid, I read the books X-Force with X-Men, and they're like having a little crew, and Domino, Cable, and all that. It's exciting. Overall, the film was great. I thought I liked it. It was ridiculous, some of the jokes, like, wow. He really pushed the envelope on some of this stuff. Like, I don't think anyone was safe. Everybody got something saying there. The Academy, you know, award winner people.
Especially the X-Men universe. No one was safe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. X-Men was not, you know, Wolverine? What? Who's that? You know, if you laugh about that musical instrument in the beginning, I don't like you. But anyhow, it was great. My wife wasn't too crazy about it because it was just like random. But I think Cable did an excellent job, the role of Cable, because, you know, to balance things out. And he, in my perspective, he played the role of Cable. Domino was a little more free, like spiritual free.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't as serious and as deadly. I mean, she was an assassin in the comic books. I just didn't see that. I didn't feel that presence of an assassin with her. But overall, it seems pretty, like I say, it was great. I laugh a lot. A lot. Oh my gosh.
So it seems like overall we all enjoyed it. I recommend it if you're a fan, especially if you're a fan of Ryan Reynolds. Like, from the very beginning when he played what's his, that character's name? Oh god.
Green Lantern?
No, before that he played something else. He played
Ben Wilder.
No, in a superhero.
Green Lantern?
No. I think he played one in the DC. Oh, no, DC.
Green Lantern.
Marvel.
The vampire. Oh.
Yeah. Hannibal King.
Yeah, Hannibal King. Yeah.
So, if you're a fan of that, Ryan Reynolds, I mean, he's always that typical character, but he's been doing superhero movies for different studios, for different properties, for his whole life. And Deadpool is the thing that caught on, and now he's successful, and everyone knows him as Deadpool. I remember, like, on Twitter, someone mentioned, are we in a universe where it's actually Deadpool playing Ryan Reynolds? Like, because the way Ryan Reynolds acts, and especially on Twitter and in social media, he's kind of like breaking the fourth wall there too, in a weird way. But yeah, like I said, we all enjoyed it, and I hope you guys go check that out when it goes. I think it's still in theaters, right? I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So moving on, I think this is the end of the show, right, guys?
Yes.
But after that, after this part, stay tuned for after our after credits, in which we'll be discussing the spoilers. But it won't be that long. It'll probably be like 5 minutes. We're just going to say the things that, like the jokes that we liked.
It's not a lot of spoilers compared to Infinity War.
Yes. So, Nino, where can they check you out on the interwebs?
Oh, they could check me at john.abaya@gmail.com. If they have any questions, I'd gladly speak to them about things.
Wait, you have that?
I had to open a new one.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm like, why? But whatever. So I'll take it.
Ben, where can they check you out?
They can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Benjamin Abaya.
You guys can check me out on Twitter at the most organized Twitter feed of 2018 at Abaya Arts. You can check us out at Twitter too at TFA Now, or you can like us on Facebook. I think it's The Freaking Awesome at Facebook. And if you want, if you are on our page or at thefreakingawesome.com, you can actually, there's a link to our Discord server. You can go there, and if you want, you can chat, whatever, tell us your opinions. If we find anything that's, worthy to like read on the podcast, we'll say on here on the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to on iTunes, and we are also on Google Play. I think you just have to search The Freaking Awesome on there. If you have any questions or comments, you can contact us at contacts@thefreakingawesome.com. Really enjoyed this X-Force episode with you guys.
Should it be called the A-Force?
I guess, A-Force.
I'll be A-Force to Reckon.
Yeah, A-Force.
It's just funny, the whole X is like, reminds me of like the Wakanda Forever, and like, oh, let's switch it to X-Force instead.
X-Force like, Forever.
That was purpose, though. Like he did
Yeah,
that,
it is.
Yeah.
That's what I said, no one is safe.
thank you guys for joining me. Thank you, Ben.
Welcome. Wait, am I supposed to say this?
I think so. Is that how it goes? Thank you, Nino, for joining us.
Have a great,
So,
and if you do get a chance, go watch that new TV, not new, from Netflix, comedy show with Eliza Schlesinger. Oh my goodness, she was so funny last time we watched her.
Okay, Ben, anyhow, do you have anything to recommend too before
we leave? I do have something to recommend.
Okay, what is it, Ben?
It's on BBC America. It's called Killing Eve. The finale was just a week ago. So I didn't watch the finale yet, but I'm a couple of episodes behind. But if you like Susan Ho, she's in it. So,
okay. Yeah. I'll recommend a comic book, Amazing Spider-Man 800, just recently came out this week. Go read it. I didn't read it yet, but it's 800 issue. If you're
800 issue?
Yeah, 800 issue.
Is it still Peter Parker or someone else?
No, it's Peter Parker still, I think. Oh. I don't know after the 800 issue. So.
I was like, I remember Scarlet Spider was there too, right?
Yeah. But Peter Parker is still there. So check
it's,
that out.
It's Sandra Ho from Killing Eve. I'm sorry. It's a Susan.
So I'm John Abaya.
I'm Benjamin Abaya.
I'm Nino Abaya.
And that was the Freaking Awesome Podcast. Hello, guys, and welcome back. If you stayed after the music or whatever credits, so we just discussed Deadpool real quick, Deadpool 2. Now we're going to dive into the spoilers. If you don't want to hear anything about this movie, you still haven't watched it yet, do not listen to this part. That's your last warning. Let's dive in and discuss how most of the X-Force died in this movie and that Terry Crews was a waste. So, what are you guys' favorite jokes in the movie? Just like,
oh my goodness, there are so many. I don't know. There's so many. Like, I like the ending where he got killed for both from Weapon X Project and Green Lantern Project.
Oh yes, where he assassinated himself.
Yeah.
And time travel wise, it won't make sense because then if he died in those time travel, his character and himself in real life is dead. So it doesn't make sense.
He killed him. Like, it's not like he told him not to do it.
Yes, literally, yeah.
Killed him.
Instead of telling him, no, don't do this part, or don't go in that hallway with Wolverine.
Yeah, right.
He just killed the characters. I was like, oh, okay.
Maybe in a different realm, you're just like, you know, helping them out.
Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite parts, I think, is, oh God. Wait, go back to me. Ben, what's your favorite part? Ben, are you still there, Ben? Hello. Ben.
My favorite part has to be
I have another one if you want.
Oh, wait, this is spoilers, right?
Yeah. Welcome, okay, Ben, so, back to the podcast.
I would have to say when they parachute out. That's my favorite part.
Oh.
Oh, how everyone died randomly, right?
Yes.
So did you guys expect that was Brad Pitt the whole time? I didn't even know about that.
No,
cameo.
I did not know.
I didn't know that. Did you guys notice Matt Damon is in there too?
Oh, yes. He plays, oh God, what character?
He was one of the rednecks.
Yes.
Yes.
That is
talking about, what was he talking about? It was something weird that didn't make any sense, actually.
Is it because the person's name? Was it that? Or no. I forgot.
No, he's talking about like toilet paper. That's what, but I don't know what it was.
Something random.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what's crazy is in the beginning when the girlfriend died, oh my goodness, like I swear when that happened, you can hear a pin drop.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah.
Everybody was so shocked. And
that's what I appreciate about the film is using that time when it came to the girlfriend. It was like they don't break the fourth wall at all. It was like a serious film all of a sudden.
It was. And then and everybody felt it. And you felt it like, wow. Like, oh, shit's about to happen. And it was crazy because even my wife, who wasn't a big fan of Deadpool, she was in shock. Like, oh, crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shit just got real.
I think that's like some of when that happened, at first I was kind of annoyed because in most films they use that as a device for like the male character to do their thing, and it's like kind of annoying at the same time. But at the same time, it paid off towards the end. Yes. When they meet in the last time. Mm-hmm. But then again, they also like reversed the whole thing because he went back to the pass and reverse her thing. So yeah,
speaking of a male thing, did you guys see Stanley?
Yeah, so he didn't have like an official cameo, he only had a portrait. It was like graffiti.
That was it. But so there was not feeling good anymore.
Yeah, yes. So they filmed a whole bunch of like Marvel cameos in the last year, I believe. And
yeah,
some of them he couldn't make it because he is getting old and he is getting to the point where he is having a hard time, you know, moving around and whatnot. He still goes to like conventions and stuff. I've seen photos, but his voice is very different. The way he looks, he looks very, I don't want to say like, pale, but not pale.
You know what? If Tupac can come out with albums after he passed away, there's no excuse with this.
So he can release cameos after he passes away.
Yeah, right.
I mean, with hologram technology,
exactly. CGI. Put him in there.
With the... I mean, that's the whole point of like why James Cameron and Steven Spielberg and what's his name created this technology so we could see ourselves.
Exactly. How did they finish Fast and Furious without, you know, without Paul Walker.
Yeah. So I forgot. So I just remembered. So one of the best jokes, it's not even an actual joke. It's a visual joke, is when he mentions when he's in the mansion, he's like, where are all the X-Men at? So that joke was in the original movie too. I was like, oh, it's a stupid joke again. Like, that's the one thing that I was like, oh man, this joke again. But it paid off because they actually showed the actual cast of the new X-Men
in that room.
And they slowly closed the door.
What's the weird part about the cast is that it's a mixture of the old and new cast.
So do you know what cast is that? The actual thing?
No, it's a mixture of all of them.
Oh, really?
So yeah, because they show Hank. They showed Hank Williams, Hank the Beast, and Hank as a human form.
Mm-hmm. So that scene is actually they were filming Dark Phoenix at the same time.
Which makes sense because I'm like, they're all dressed up with that.
So they shot that scene last minute. I think as a way to say like, yeah, we get it.
They're Fox. They're
Fox. It's like, yeah, we get it, Deadpool. You will never be in here, so we'll just make our own movie too. right here.
You know, I am a little pissed with Colossus, because Colossus should be able to turn human back. I never saw him switch.
So I think they don't want to go that route, because in this universe, it's more cartoony, you could say. Like, more comic book... what do you call that? Comic book accuracy. The accuracy is more
disbelief.
No. But they mostly go takes all of the references from the comic books, like the way they look and stuff. Unlike the past X-Men films, it's more like they're more original, like the costumes and stuff like that. But this one, you can tell, like, even down to Cable's arm and whatnot, the way he looks.
Cable was good, I enjoyed his costume because it was almost the same.
Did you guys expect Juggernaut? So that was a big surprise for me.
No, I was shocked.
So the whole time when the little kid, or everyone's like, you have to beat the big man or the biggest person in prison. I was like, who the heck is the biggest person? Like, honestly, the whole time I was thinking about the Blob.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's like, oh, okay, it's probably the Blob, because it's a big person. Because in my mind, the Juggernaut's already introduced in this universe by that other X-Men film, you know, the one part three. So I was like, he's not that big. So I never thought about it. So then when they actually show the Juggernaut, the new Juggernaut in this universe, because you know how Days of Future Past change everything, I guess.
Yeah.
In the timeline. They show him as a big dude. I was like, oh, okay, this is more the comic book way of doing him. And it's kind of cool. I mean, this version of Juggernaut, he actually acknowledged that he's Charles Xavier's brother. Unlike the past, the one in part three, United, or movie, he doesn't acknowledge it at all. So I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. They acknowledge why he has that helmet and why is he protecting his brain. I was like, that's really good. I like that part about the movie where they're trying to inline more into the comic book and the stuff that people already know about the characters.
Well, you know, the big thing you mentioned about the cartoon, when I thought about it, like, human form to that is the Hulk.
Oh, yeah, like,
That's very comical, but it's just... And, you know, Wade was talking about, oh, about to have a CGI battle.
Oh, yes, yes.
Like, the obvious stuff.
That is so, like, CGI. Like, it's a...
I know.
It's not even the best CGI, but we're like, no, okay, if he's acknowledging it, I guess it's okay. Like, the way...
Oh, exactly.
How everyone else is acknowledging everything else.
Even the battle scene. It was interesting, but, yeah, this... I guess that's the only thing that kind of bothered me, that Colossus was not able to go human form and back. Because in comics, he was easily doing that. And it's like Wolverine, when he is weak, his claws goes back in. The same with Colossus. When he's weak, he goes back to human form because it's a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting. But yeah, those are my take on that.
Same here. Do you have any more to add, Ben?
No.
Okay. So I think that's it for spoilers. Again... Those were spoilers. I don't know how to end this part. I think we never don't
it's
have...
It's not much of a spoiler compared to Infinity War. Really like, you'll enjoy the movie even if you listen to the spoiler, it's like, oh, okay.
I was spoiled by, like, the Juggernaut, and I still, like,
enjoyed
his...
The Juggernaut was. But beyond that, it's like, oh, okay.
Wouldn't it be cool if at the end of the movie everyone started, like half of them were started to get turned into dust, and it's like, oh, this is part of that universe too. Like,
you know, I was hoping to get something like that, like a tease.
Yes.
Of like a crossover, but I don't know. I was hoping to see more Wolverine, to be honest with you.
I was also hoping like at least one Avenger will show up, but not as Avenger. But I was like
a cameo, like either Robert Downey or something.
But my hope was Chris Evans, because Chris Evans has a similar like thing with Ryan Reynolds. Like he was a past superhero, but then turned into a better superhero.
That was interesting. Yeah. That could have been better.
Yeah.
But I was hoping for a Hugh Jackman appearance. Yes, something. Yes. Not the credits. That was not, no.
That like was him just from, cussing like, him out.
Saying, yeah, that like, was just a, yeah, that's, yeah, yeah, yeah. He appeared in that little musical box. I guess that
no,
counts.
No, let's not talk about that. I'm like, what? When Amanda saw my face, she was like, oh my gosh, he's going to go nuts. Like, motherfucker.
They did it.
Right?
Yes. So, yeah, but I guess this is a spoiler. I have no idea how to end this part always.
Let's end it like that. There you go.
Okay. Let's all go away. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. No. Hold me, Tony Stark.